praise. Come on, let out your praise.
Come on, one of those over should have caught you. Come on, let out your praise. Let out your praise. You brought it, you might as well give it to him. Come on. Not only has God been good, God is good to you right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Certainly, thank God. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We are to rejoice and be glad in it. God has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Come on, help me encourage somebody. Look at them and say, God is good. Come on, look at another and say, God is good. Come on, put your hands together one more time. God is good. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Certainly we thank God for where he has brought us in this worship experience. We are experiencing the presence of Almighty God. And somebody here can be a witness that when God manifests himself, it is marvelous to be in the midst. When Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, Peter couldn't help himself. He said, Lord, it is just good for us to be here. And I don't know about you, but I just can't help myself. Lord, it is just good for me to be here. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Thank God for deacons and trustees who have voted us, preachers who accompany us in the pulpit, Reverend Pitts, Reverend McCoy, Pastor Meredith Walker, and Reverend Woods. Reverend Mims, in his absence, he's preaching, certainly to Reverend Van in his absence. And certainly we thank God for all of you who are here. What a joy it is for us to be alive. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Look at someone, if you will, and say, operating under God's authority and power. Look at another and say, operating under God's authority and power. Help me shout at the virtual audience. Operating under God's authority and power. If that's you, praise him on you. Where do you see? Operating under God's authority and power. that God has not called us to be a weak people. He has not called us to be a weak church. He has called us to be a powerful, authoritative people and church. I've been repetitive in saying that God has not called us to be wimps and cowards, but he called us to be bold and courageous. Because the enemy that we are dealing with is not a weak enemy. He called us to be a people of power and authority. It is Luke chapter 9 that serves sort of as a middle point to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Up until this point, Jesus had been preaching, teaching, and performing miracles alone. In Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44, Jesus preached in the synagogue of Galilee. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Jesus called his disciples. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, Jesus cleansed a leper. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, Jesus healed a paralytic. In Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 42, he taught about the blessings and woes, loving your enemies, judging others, bearing fruit, and two foundations. In Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, Jesus healed a centurion's servant and raised the widow's son from Nain. It is in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 56, Jesus performed four miracles to demonstrate his power and authority. In Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, he demonstrates his power over the natural realm. He spoke peace to the storm, and the storm ceased. In Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, Jesus demonstrates his power and authority over demonic spirits. When Jesus and his disciples made it to Gadara, he encountered a man with 5,000 to 6,000 demons, and Jesus spoke to the demons and cast them out of the man, and the demons went in the pigs, in the swine, and they ran violently down a steep slope and drowned the swine in the water. It is in Luke chapter 8, verses 49 through 55, Jesus demonstrates his power and authority over death. That Jairus' daughter died while Jesus was on his way, but he was interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood. I want to tell you that delay doesn't mean denial. That he's never too late. But he's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Somebody here can be a witness that you've been in trouble. Your back has been up against the wall. You've been up against the rope. But he stepped in right on time because he's not too late. He's always on time because the Bible says he has what is called due time. He went into the room after the girl had died and he spoke to her, and she was raised from the dead. He demonstrated these miracles to show his power over all of human life. That there is nothing we contend with, grapple with, that's too much for God to handle. He gives us power to face it all. Oh, that sounded good to me. Somebody help me preach by looking at your neighbor and say, he gives you power to face it all. He gives you power. He gives you authority to face it all. Up until this point, Jesus taught, preached, performed miracles alone. But now he calls his disciples from being spectators, observers of his preaching and teaching and performing of miracles, and he calls them to participation. He calls them to operate under the power and authority of God. So the first thing Jesus did was he called the 12 disciples to himself before he called them together. He called them to himself. The first calling is not a calling of performance. It's a calling of salvation. He called them. They were fishermen. They had other occupations. And he would go by the sea shore and he would call disciples. He went by tax booths and he called disciples to follow him. Listen, God will never use you to perform a miracle if your fellowship of him is not intact. See, people want major happenings with God. They want major miracles to be exhibited in their lives with no commitment. The first call is a call to follow him. He called them unto himself first. Then he called them together. Now, this is key because the first thing we must recognize from the text is that Jesus calls different people together in ministry. Now, can you imagine if all of us were alike? How dull church would be? If you all were just like me and I was just like you. You know how hampered and hindered we'll be? But he calls different people together in ministry. And in the difference, in the uniqueness of the individuals, God brings about unity by way of his spirit to accomplish his work, so that the praise and the glory would not be of the people but will be of him. See, God can use you from your walk of life, from your neighborhood, from your side of the track, from your messed up past, from He can call you as messed up as you are, and he can bring you among people that he is working on and work on you at the same time and accomplish his will. That's what you see every Sunday morning as you look at your neighbor. And other words, you looking at somebody that he brought out of Lodibar. You looking at somebody that was messed up from the flow up. You looking at somebody that didn't have it all together, but they mess around and gave their life to the Lord, and he can straighten up what's messed up. Get you a sneak peek at the person beside you. Don't look at them hard, but just get you a sneak peek at the person beside you. Cut your eyes at them. He calls different people. And he takes the different people and he places them together in ministry, people from different cultures, different social economic status, different countries, different ethnicities, different abilities, and they are called together under the power and authority of God, and they are used of God. I want you to understand that you don't have to be like the person beside you. You know, so often we rob ourselves of ourselves and our uniqueness because we are so busy pattering after other people, mimicking other people. And we have so little confidence in ourselves and so much confidence in somebody else that we don't even see ourselves as significant and able to be used of God. But I'm here to tell you that God wants you just as you are. Takes different people from different countries, different ethnicities, with different abilities, and he put us together. That's what you see in the 12 disciples. They were different, but he called them, and then he called them together, and he gave them power and authority. Y'all still with me? He knew they needed power and authority. Because they would be opposed by satanic forces. Listen, if Satan is not on your trail, that may be evident that you are not against Satan.
That's right. That's right.
You may be working for Satan. Because when you give your life to the Lord, Satan is going to unleash his hellhounds. He's going to mess with you every way he can, everywhere he can. Somebody, he ought to be a witness that you didn't catch trouble and you didn't catch hell until you joined the church, joined the Lord. And now, you know, every time you turn around, it's something. But you can be a witness also that every something that has come about in your life, God has given you the power to overcome it. I got to quit. He gives us divine ability and divine authority. I want you to get this now because, you know, you're dealing with some stuff. And it's tough. And I want you to overcome it because, you know, I'm convinced that you can be saved. And because you don't know, you know, the power, the principles of God in you. But you know, I want you to understand just what God has given you so that you don't just sit back and succumb to the bullying. But you can push him. Push him back. You can resist him. Here it is, divine ability. He gave them power. He gave them power. Jesus gave them power. Dunamis. Which means force, miraculous power. In other words, Jesus gave them raw ability that was needed. Jesus gave them raw ability needed to accomplish an action. Last year, I told you that faith requires action. That if you are a child of God, then God is expecting you to act in obedience. But he never calls you to an action or an assignment without giving you the ability to do it. So he gives them the raw ability to accomplish the assignment, to carry out the action. See, without authority, without ability, Satan would overcome you. He would overcome the church. Without raw ability given from God to you, everything that you encounter in life will overtake you. You would live your life in defeat, discouraged, despaired. Thank God for ability. But not only does he give ability, he gives authority. This word authority, ekousios, which means the right to do. Permission to operate God's power. Let me see, can I give you an example? A police officer has both ability and authority. That badge is authority. It says that the officer has the right to act in behalf of government. And so they show you the badge. So you'll see that they have authority. But the badge, for some of us, is not enough. You don't get any get right when you see the badge. You're still acting crazy. Still acting contrary. Show you the badge. Now I'm the law. Calm yourself down. Get yourself in order. And instead of you dialing down the volume, you elevate it. And you want the officer to know that you're just as bad as the officer is. And so instead of you mouthing down, you get big chested and you get big headed and you start talking back against the officer because you are not taken out or you are not humbled by the officer's authority. But the officer also has ability. You know, ability are gone. You know, they have to open their coat and show you the gun. The officer also has ability with handcuffs and a club and a taser gun. Y'all don't hear me. And so since you didn't act right with the badge, the officer has both authority and ability. I'm here saying something to us. Since Satan and his demons and wicked people won't act right when we tell them of the authority that God has given us, we got ability. That we can tell them something out of the 66 books, the word of God. And the word of God is the ability of God to change circumstances. Look at somebody and say, I got both authority and ability. Come on, y'all kind of quiet with it. Look at somebody else and say, I got both authority and ability. I got it. Look at them and tell them, you don't know who you're messing with when you're messing with me. I got both authority and ability. Well, let me quit. He gives us authority and ability to do two things. First of all, authority and ability is given to us to preach the kingdom of God. He says, you go and you preach the kingdom of God. That the church is not to preach the church. The church is not to preach a social gospel. The church is not to preach money coming now. The church is not to preach naming and claiming. Super superlative sainthood, you more spiritual than anybody else, and ain't nothing wrong with you. Now the church is not to preach that. The church is to preach the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is the authority of Christ to rule and to reign in the hearts of his people. It is to preach Christ as the coming king, whom God has sent and has not only commissioned or commanded to die on the cross, but he raised him up to reign as king in the life and in the heart of all who will call him and seek him and honor him as Lord and Savior. Preach the kingdom. Jesus himself preached the kingdom of God. John the Baptist preached the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is commissioning his disciples to preach the kingdom of God. Proclaim Jesus Christ as the king of the kingdom. Now, I want to ask a question, and I want you to answer aloud. I don't want you to give yourself away. But where is Christ in your life? Is he on the throne of your life? Is he on the throne in your heart? Or do you still have him on the cross because you want to be on the throne? Where is Christ in your life? So listen, the kingdom of God is the rulership, the reign of Christ in the hearts of the people. In other words, the throne of your heart, he's sitting on the throne and you are bearing your cross. He says, proclaim the kingdom of God. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom of God has power to save sinners. It's the utensil of God that convicts the heart of man to convert him from his ways, to bring him into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. But then the preaching, the proclamation, the proclaiming of the gospel is the priority of the church. Now, I want you to settle for what I'm about to say. Preaching the kingdom of God is more needed and needful than performing of miracles. It's the priority of God. It's God's priority for the church. It's the first thing, the first place, the first order of business is preaching the gospel. Everything else is to be circumferenced around the preaching of the gospel. That's why he says, seek ye first. But see, some of us want a miracle first. Some of us want God to show us something major and miraculous first before we decide to deposit our faith in the Lord. He says, no, you go preaching first. And then he said, heal of sickness, diseases, and demon possession. I got to quit. Now, let me show you, or let me tell you, what miracles are and why he told them to perform miracles. See, the healing of the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead are burdens to humanity. When somebody passes away that's near and dear you, you are burdened and sorrowed of heart. When somebody near and dear you sick, matter of fact, the sick person themselves, they are burdened. When a person is down and discouraged, it's a burden. So what the Lord said, I want you in ministry to go to hurting humanity and show hurting humanity God's compassion for them. See, it's not about how you look, because they have to look beyond you. It's the compassion of God expressed and demonstrated to hurting humanity. Because when people are sick, when people are demon possessed, and when people have some dead relative in their family, they are hurting. But God says that I have come to heal your hurt. Y'all just missed it. I'm glad that God has sent his son to heal my hurt. I'm thankful that he came down through 42 generations to not only heal the sick, raise the dead, but he came down to open the eyes of the blind and to pick up those who are downtrodden. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is an expression of God's compassion for me. The question is, does God care? You ought to look at somebody and tell them that the Lord, he cares. He cares for you when you're on your mountaintops. He cares for you when you're down in your valleys. He cares for you when you're in, and he cares for you when you are out. Does Jesus care? The Bible says that he had compassion when he looked upon the multitude that were without a shepherd. The Bible says that he had compassion when he looked upon the 5,000 who were about to faint. The Bible says that he had compassion when the Lord looks at you and I and he sees us grappling in life and wrestling with satanic opposition. He cares. He has compassion for you and I. You ought to look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, where I am, he brought me. What I have, he gave it to me. What I know, he taught me. And where I'm going, he's gonna take me. High five somebody and tell them, I couldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it with the Lord on my side. And now I can say, he walks with me. He talks with me. Y'all sitting here like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Is there anybody here that got God as a company keeper? Is there anybody here that got the Lord as a way maker? Won't he turn it around? Won't he do it? You ought to look at somebody and say, neighbor, I thank God for power and authority. I thank God that I made it through my troubles. I thank God that I made it through my storm. And I'm here today to give him some praise. And when I ask you my question, you ought to give him some praise. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah. I don't hear you giving him praise. Say, yeah.
Lord, your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a faith family, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come give the Lord you and he will restore, revive, refresh, re-energize. Come. Come on, come on. Everyone to your feet if you will. Come on, come on. Come on. The doors, the doors, the doors, the doors. Stands ajar. Come on. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house still stands ajar. Come on, don't let this opportunity pass you by. You'll never get it again. Once this day is gone, it's gone. Listen, come on, bless you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. The Lord is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, saying, this is your day. This is your time. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord. Come on. Don't you let the devil convince you to stay in your seat, knowing you need to be saved, knowing you need to be restored, knowing you need a church home. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. We're still waiting on you. The Lord is speaking to your heart. Come on. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. We have Brother Sidney Cheatham that has come to us by Christian Experience. He already knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And my word to him is to make him Lord. Make him Lord. Make him Lord. Let him be the captain and caretaker of your life. Let him order your steps. Let him rule and reign over your life. And watch how blessed your life be. And watch how much your life be a testimony to everybody that's around you, that watches you, that looks upon your life, and they'll see that difference. Because anytime a supernatural person like the Holy Spirit comes and live in the heart of a natural man, he becomes supernatural. God changes him from the inside out. Amen. We have orientation. Will you take orientation class? Sunday mornings at 9:20. All right. I want you to stay with the clerk, and she's going to give you instructions. And just hold right here. I'm going to pray with you for a minute. Amen. Who do we have? Sister Kimberly Yellen, Christian Experience. That means you saved. Amen. And you want to be a member of this church. You a member? You a member already? Amen. You coming back? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We're glad you're back. You know, I said something to the members at Bible study. I said, people are going to start coming back. They're going to start coming back, and they're going to start taking, they're going to take back their rightful place in the house of God and work for God, for the glory of God. We're glad you're back. We're glad you're back. I want you to take part in orientation to get you assimilated into our Sunday school ministry. And after orientation, the superintendents, they are going to place you in your class. I want you to stay in church, stay in the Word of God, study the Word of God, so that, listen, you will, all of that power and permission that I talked about that's necessary for life lived as a Christian, I want you to know it in the Word of God. As you study the Word of God, the more you take in the Word of God, the stronger your faith becomes. Will you do that? Amen. Come on, brother. Come on. Father, thank you for sending these two to us. Lord, bringing our sister back home, we pray. Their strength in you, we pray. Lord, that you build them up and that you use them for your glory. Add them to us. Assimilate them into the ministry. Lord, that they will enhance and not interrupt. Lord, have your way in them and through them for your glory. Lord, and they're good. And I pray that everybody that comes into contact with them will know that there is a blessedness and serving of true and living God. Thank you, Lord. Forgive of sins and create, Lord, within them an appetite for you and for the things of you. Thank you for adding to our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. All hearts and minds clear. Everybody sing, amen. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Love of Jesus Christ. May it rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen. 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 Go in peace. Love you. Come on.